Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello and welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. I'm really excited to have Dr. McCarr with me today. I think our meeting was divine and I'm very confident that the information we're going to share today will change you in some way. So Dr. McCarr, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Grace.
Of course. And today we're talking about a sensitive subject of loss, and we're going to be talking about some difficult things. But for our audience, please listen up. I think that the message here today is going to be deep and meaningful and something that hopefully you'll carry with you forever. But Dr. McCarr, tell me a little bit about you and kind of what's brought us to today, to this meeting today.
Sure. So I'm a general dentist, like most of your audience, and I had a private practice in Long Island, and I was leading my very life, which I'm a mom, I have two kids, I did a startup, and I had a little younger brother who was almost 8 years younger than me, who followed my footsteps and became a dentist himself. And he had, you know, dentistry had tied us together because we did courses, we took implant courses together. He would tell me what to do for my office. He did a startup in 16. He's like, you got two young kids, I'll help you do your startup. However, in 2019, he had a lesion on his tongue, which was later diagnosed as stage 2 squamous cell carcinoma. And it's such an aggressive disease. And he had a major surgery where half his tongue was resected and grafted, and he was back seeing patients. He was also in private practice, solo practitioner. However, just when COVID hit in early of 2020, in April, his cancer had returned within 8 months of the initial diagnosis. So he went through another round of surgery in isolation. A lot of the treatment was done. This time, the borders were shut between US and Canada. So he resided in Canada. I was in New York in the States. And so I could not visit or help him through the process or help my elderly parents. And so he suffered through a lot of it, emotional journey alone, and that's when he decided to quit dentistry and focus on his health as he did his rounds of chemo radiation. And unfortunately, the cancer spread, initial lesion was on the tongue, spread to the bones, down to his pelvic bones. And in March of 2021, this March 14th will mark 2 years of his demise, of his crossing over. And yes, I'm here to share, you know, how him being a dentist, knowing what oral cancer is, being taught to diagnose it, steps that were missed. Had he had an earlier diagnosis, he initially was put on prednisone because they thought it was lichen planus without having a biopsy. So, you know, advocating for yourself, advocating for your patients, treating the cause, not the symptoms, knowing what you're treating, getting a diagnosis, rather than just looking at it and saying, it looks like this, no biggie. And, you know, pushing for much quicker, more conservative treatment and eventually saving life, that no one has to watch, you know, your 30 some odd lively, full of life, healthy, individual pass.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. I can't imagine. And my deepest condolences, and I'm sure our audience feels the same way. And you're very, very brave and strong to be here today sharing this. I know it's not easy. And the message for our dental community is imperative. It's hard to run a practice. It's very, very challenging to be a dentist, a clinician, and to be a business owner. We've all heard this. We've seen this. It's a true, true, true challenge. And when you are pulled in so many directions and you have so much responsibility, being with that patient and being present in that patient's care, it is a huge responsibility. And we need to make that the center. And we need to make that the priority and everything else can follow. Do you agree with that, Doctor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We play so many different roles and it's sometimes so hard that you're focusing on like 20 different things. And I think especially as a mom, if the school calls in between, you know, they always call the mom first or something happens. There are some tough choices you have to make. And it's so hard that moment that you are with your patient in that chair for that, whatever the long appointment is, it's a half an hour appointment, it's a 15 minute appointment, an hour appointment, that moment all should kind of like phase out and it should be just the patient, what they came in here for, what their symptoms are, what are they describing to you? And I think after this loss, that really honed in on me more so than ever. And also like patients, are they willing to tell you? Sometimes going through this journey even humanized me as a dentist in the sense like people, I was open with my journey and I shared this with my patients. So they knew what I was going through and they knew I had shut the office for 3 weeks. They understood. And, you know, I got lots of hugs and cards and gifts and whatever, but it was humanizing the profession of dentistry that we're not this white coat. There is a person. So it goes both ways. It goes for the patients to realize that you're a human, we are, and we make mistakes and we have emotional baggage and all of that. And for the doctor, like at that moment when you're treating the patient, that's it. That's what you want to focus on. And I had to learn how to focus that. Like in this room where I am right now, I've had many conversations with my brother. And I think the last that I knew when he was alive, my parents called me and it was a Saturday, I was working. And they said to me that we're meeting with the palliative team, we'll call you later. And this was like a day before his death. So I knew he was going to die, but it was a Saturday and I had a full load of schedule. I couldn't walk away. I had to like cry it out, take a minute and refocus my energy because out there somebody's got something that needs attention and I need to be present for that. And I have to leave my emotions and what is bound to happen aside for just a few minutes so I can register because it didn't even process through.
I am horrible at compartmentalizing emotion, as I think most women, I think most women are challenged with this. I witnessed in my own life that the men in my life are better at compartmentalizing. Like my husband could have some horrible thing happen and then like not even think about it for however many hours while he's doing this other thing. And for me, it just all lives in this one space. Yeah. And it's a very challenging thing to say, I'm going to be fully present and focused on this one thing when I'm used to juggling. And I would admit, I think I have a slight addiction towards productivity. I have a really hard time shutting down. And I'm sure that this loss has changed you in so many ways. Talk to us a little bit about how this deep loss has changed you as a person.
So it changed the way I practice. I knew what I wanted in my practice and I changed that. And I was more so gung-ho about it, of letting go of a practice that was heavy Medicaid because I knew that I just couldn't provide the services and grow as a clinician. So I walked away from that. It also made me value my time. I started saying no to things. And then the people who were there for me, I made sure that I'll be there for them when they need me. And at that time has come, you know, for someone. And so it made me realize the value of friendship, the value of time, how fleeting and so important it is. And that essence of being in that moment. For example, if I was invited to an event, and I was invited to lots of events when Manu passed, family stuff, my husband's family or friend's stuff and weddings and so on and so forth. And I broke down, like I would have panic attacks at the events and I learned how to recognize my triggers. I learned how to walk away so nobody else would know except my support system, my husband. And I would take myself out of the situation. So if I knew beforehand, you know what, I'm not bringing good energy, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to say no to this because I don't want to bring my negative energy into somebody's joy, right? And then, but if I did go and I'm like, okay, I can do this, it's been a few months, because, you know, grief is something you live with every day. And it doesn't matter when the event happened. I went to a wedding, who was a dentist, very close family friend, who's same age as my brother, close to him. And I witnessed something that I was taken away from, like the chance I would never get to do these things. And I'm watching the family interact and I'm like, oh my God, I've lost so much. And I hardly attended the wedding. I went back to my hotel room with my kids and I rested because I knew this was very hard. So sometimes I feel like I can do this and sometimes I can't, but I know how to remove myself from the situation because I never want somebody else's joy to be interrupted. And it's recognizing those triggers, it's recognizing those factors, and it's that ability to say no and make that conscious effort to be in the moment or let somebody else enjoy the moment and you can just process through. I mean, even my father-in-law's 80th birthday, I saw the family and I know my parents would never get that joy of celebrating because they've stopped celebrating birthdays. And I, my husband saw me, he's like, you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm gonna go for a walk now. Everybody's pretty happy and everybody's got, you know, stuff going on. Everybody, they're all having a good time. And I went alone and I took an hour for myself. And I know I'll come back, but I needed to debrief.
And that's okay. And you know what? Wherever you're at, whether you're in a state of grief and mourning and loss, or you're in a state of overwhelm, or you're in a state of, it doesn't matter, wherever you're at in life, if you have to say no to something, you're allowed to do that. I've taken a break from travel for a couple of years now to be home with my kids, to be present, to be mom first and foremost. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to blink and work will still be there and God willing opportunity will be there, but I'm not going to get these moments back. And so I've had a lot of people get very mad at me in the dental community for saying no to things, for saying, I'm not going to go to this party or to this event. I'm not going to speak at this thing. I'm not going to do that thing. And they think I'm being a diva. They think I'm being arrogant, but I'm protecting my time and I'm protecting my priorities. And you don't need to even have the excuse to step away. If you need to step away, you're allowed to do what you need to do for whatever the circumstances of your life are. And I think, and I don't know if men feel this pressure too. I don't know why I sometimes think like men and women are different. I think our brains are slightly different from a genetic makeup perspective. But as a woman, I feel like I'm supposed to be at all the school functions. I'm supposed to be the mommy, but I'm the business owner. My husband works with me on more of a part-time basis. He has more flexibility. So he is more the primary parent with our kids in school and their functions and their sports and things. And I'm sure so many people are looking at me, judging me, like, how is her husband at pickup every day? Like what, like, where's the mom? Where's your mom? My kids have even said that. People wonder if I have a mom because you don't go to pick up. And I'm like, oh, please. First of all, I'm home every day, all of the time. And you are very well taken care of. I don't care what people think. I'm not here to entertain what people think of me. I'm here to be present and to set my priorities based on what I think is what's best for my family and for my life. But I think when you go through these catastrophic losses, it basically just brings to light what's important. It just highlights, boom, family, boom, health, boom, being present. Like we realize the brevity of life in those moments. And I think in a sense, it would put a whole bunch of pressure on you to not waste a moment, right?
Or waste it because you're taking care of yourself and you, You know, you're right. I think as moms, we're always constantly, it's like setting up doctor's visits, setting up, and you end up taking care of your parents or your in-laws. It kind of comes on you almost, right? But everything, I think it just, as women, we take on a lot of roles and we're like, yeah, I'll take care of laundry. I'll drop off this. I'll pick up the medication. I'll plan the party, because every party planning, every birthday event, you know, it ends up mom's planning it. What needs to be taken to school? Oh, it's, I don't know, it's school party time and you have to do class mom stuff. I've done all of those things. And, but it really is like, I was off yesterday and my son had a school thing. I didn't volunteer because I was just taking care. I'm like, I'll be there for all the important stuff. It's okay. I didn't come to a school outing, but I'm there for all the class events. I'm there, you know, so you prioritize where you go. And the kids realize, and I think with all of this happening, I was very honest with my children. When they saw me sad, that they didn't feel scared. And I'm like, it's just today I'm sad. And because I remember, and we talk about, you know, Manu, and they weren't there for the funeral, but they were there for the ashes when we dispersed them. And I said, you know, this is a circle of life. You just learned the lesson a little earlier than others. It's, you know, there's ups, there's downs, there's birth, there's death. And it's just a circle. And, you know, you'll process your grief in your own way, but I'm here and I'll process it my way. And some days I'll be sad and it's okay if I cry at a movie or.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fine. I'm still here and I'll always be here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I have your book. Tell me about the book.
So the book is very interesting because Manu, like I said, a lot of the times he was in isolation when he was writing. And in December of 2020, when I went to visit him, not knowing that this would be the last time I'd see him alive, and death was this elephant in the room that we just kind of evaded and ignored. But, you know, he would tell me like, oh, you know, here are my passwords, here's this. And I'm like, I don't want to listen to anything. You know, you'll be fine. We're going to plan something. And I was trying to stay hopeful for him. And, but he's like, you know, I really want this book published. And I've been writing and he would share these blogs with me. And I knew the last blog that he wrote on New Beginnings was in January of 2021. And that was when he was in isolation for 2 weeks in the hospital. And the last thing that he wrote in that, he knew he was dying, but I knew that this was it. Like it was anytime now and he knew it. And what he wrote was pointed so much to that and that he had accepted. He never had anger or resentment. Like I got cut short or I got dealt with a bad set of genes or whatever it was. And, he's like, you know, this is it. This is what I feel about life. And he wrote these series and he's like, I really want it published. And I said, fine. I got a publisher in mind. I got the ball rolling. And in February, I told him, let's get this. Give me all your stuff. I'll get it published. And he's like, no, I want to write more. I still got time. And I'm like, okay, this is what you want to do. Let's do it. So when he passed, I went to his house. It was a Tuesday. And I walk in and I find Dental Town magazine where he had written about leaving dentistry and it's included in the book. And it was the title of that article was Dentistry This Way Out. And my mom looked at the mail and she's like, well, he found way out of life. And just reading that, picking it up, walking into his house and seeing everything like it was, you know, because they left in a hurry. He was admitted for a pulmonary embolism. So his blanket's still there. His Legos are still there. His food dishes are still dirty. I mean, he died on a Sunday. So it's been a few days. It's Tuesday now. And everything was there but him and his life interrupted. Our lives were interrupted. And he called his blogs or his writings, Doctor Through a Survival Guide. So that's where the title of the book comes from. Life Interrupted, Doctor Through a Survival Guide. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading, you know, I got his laptop and I started reading what he had written. And then I'm like, you know what? I couldn't do anything else for him, you know, and there's part guilt there as a sister, as a daughter, couldn't help my parents with the border closures. I barely could get there in time. I mean, that was a fight just to get there for the funeral. Day of the funeral, I'm getting limited release papers signed. Like to travel, you had to get a compassion release and there's a form, there's all this stuff. There's a lot of protocol. And while I'm there, I'm getting, I have to check in with Canada government. They did a surprise visit on me to make sure I'm isolating properly. It's a lot. And so I was dealing with that along with dealing with grief and Zoom funeral. So there was so much going on. And so while we were alone, I started writing his story. And it was just like a completion. Like, Manu, you started it. I'm just helping you finish it. So he had left this, and I could have left it in his laptop for no one to see. But I put it all together, and it was my journey of healing and grief, finishing his story on his laptop, that I couldn't help him in any other way, at least his last wish that he wanted to be published. Unfortunately, he didn't get to see it, you know, but maybe he sees it from where he is.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. That journey is, you know, complete, and he was happy knowing that no one would read it. He'd be fine. And he had found his peace and he had found his soul. But
it's a beautiful book. I have it. And I definitely recommend it. Just giving that different perspective on life. And it's a really well-organized, easy read. And it is very deeply moving and meaningful. So, you know, I definitely recommend picking up anyone picking up the book, because there's a different perspective that you'll get from reading that. And I found it deeply meaningful. Thank you for sharing that. And it's available on Amazon. I picked it up on Amazon and just ordered it, and
it's on Kindle. It's on Amazon's, any bookstore in the world you can order it from. And if you guys want a signed copy or something, or bulk orders, because I've done that for hospitals, reach out.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your journey. Is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with today?
It's what Manu really said. And really realizing what you're challenging or what you're chasing in life, and if that brings you pure joy. You know, don't live life for others, live it for yourself, do things for yourself. I'm not saying being selfish, but really doing the things that fulfill you as a soul, as your person, as that you leave some positive legacy behind. Legacy doesn't have to be this big waha. It could be instilling good values and just passing it down, something good for people to remember you with, and creating positivity in the world.
Thank you so much for that message. It definitely speaks to the core of my being, as I'm sure it will to our audience as well. And can you hold up the book one more time for our audience? Yes, Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide. Definitely pick it up, read it. And Dr. Makar, thank you so much. Thank you for writing the book, putting it together on behalf of your brother. Thank you for sharing your story and his story with us here today. I know it will help someone in their journey. And even that one little mention of it's okay to say no to some things. It's okay to go for a walk. It's okay. Do what you need to do. We all need that reminder, especially, us business owners who are chronically spread too thin. So thank you so much for being here. And for those following along, follow our podcast anywhere. Dentistry's Growing with Grace. We've got a Facebook group, a podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you at our next one. And thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you, Dr. Makar.
Thank you so much.